Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Healthcare costs in the U.S. continue to grow at a rate greater than inflation, while concerns over healthcare quality and coverage remain the same. National and state governments are working to identify innovative ways to meet the most pressing and complex social issues facing our country today. Having the most timely and accurate information on healthcare goes a long way in informing decision-making on what necessary steps need to be taken to transform these many challenges into opportunities. With us this morning to discuss the state of Maryland's efforts in this area is Dr. Rex Cowdery, Executive Director of the Maryland Healthcare Commission. Good morning, Rex.
Good morning, Al. Pleasure to be with you.
Also joining us in our studios is Tom Romeo, IBM's General Government Industry Leader. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Al.
Rex, let's start off by learning a bit more about your organization. Perhaps you could give us an overview of the mission, the history, and the activities of the Maryland Healthcare Commission.
The commission is one of these unique organizations that's a group of 15 citizen commissioners from Maryland. They're appointed by the governor. They serve a four-year term. Some of them are appointed because they hold particular positions in the healthcare industry, like they represent payers or they represent physicians. But a majority of the board represents the citizens. And in fact, one of the interesting things that's developed in the commission is this sense that everybody on the commission represents the interests of the citizens. I mean, you may be appointed because you work for a payer, but ultimately you're there to represent the best interests of the people of Maryland. We then have a staff with centers, five centers actually, that deal with different areas of the commission's interest. They're focused around parts of the healthcare system largely. So one is the Center on Hospital Services. We have a Center on Long-Term and Community-Based Services. We have a Center on Health Information Technology. We have a Center on Data Analysis. And then finally, we have a center that deals with health policy and financing. So these are the major areas of responsibility of the commission.
So tell us a bit more about your specific role as the executive director. What are some of your official responsibilities and duties?
I think one of my major roles is to make sure the center directors have what they need to do their job in a time of constrained resources. So I'm blessed with a group of very skilled people, and part of the job is simply to make sure that they can pursue priorities in their areas. The other part is the interface, of course, with the administration and with the General Assembly. We serve as a kind of vetting organization or policy think tank and help provide advice both to the governor and to the General Assembly.
And is there a citizen-facing role also?
Absolutely. We have a number of those, depending on what we're talking about. One of the things that we believe is very important is not only to gather information, but also to provide information to consumers to help them make smarter healthcare choices. So Maryland was actually one of the early states to move in the direction of reporting hospital quality and reporting HMO quality measures. So we have continuing state reports in those areas and have branched out into other areas. For example, we've recently done a family satisfaction report that'll be done every 2 years on nursing home care that basically goes to family members and asks a series of questions about the care that their relative receives in nursing homes. And of course, you get variation in the perceived quality and responsiveness and the care delivered in nursing home settings. So part of what we do is we want to deliver information about different healthcare options to help people make better choices. Part of it probably is also giving more information about price transparency. We're not very far along that route. And in part, that's because most of our healthcare choices aren't dictated by price. I mean, to the extent you're insured, what you pay is a copay. You don't pay the full price of things. So in one sense, except when you're paying up to your deductible, you're not really terribly aware of the full price, and people don't make their decisions on the basis of price. But I think increasingly, as healthcare expenditures continue to rise, we're going to see more incentives for people to pay attention to the price of what they're purchasing. So I think this is going to become an increasingly important set of information to provide.
Rex, considering your broad set of responsibilities, what are the top three challenges that you face in your position, and how have you addressed those challenges?
I could take the easy way out and say the top three problems are the classic three problems of healthcare. They are access, they are quality, and they are cost. And actually, that would be pretty close to the truth. Quality, we have a number of initiatives. We have the reporting initiatives I mentioned before, but then we also helped put into existence the Maryland Patient Safety Center, for example, that works to improve the safety and avoid preventable errors in hospitals and increasingly in nursing homes as well. We have are working to find ways to incentivize quality. Payers are working in that direction. Our sister commission across the way that sets hospital rates is working in that direction to tie reimbursement rates and payments to the quality of the care that's delivered. That's the quality part. And then there's the access part. We have obviously huge challenges with, depending on whether you count the elderly or not, somewhere between 13% and 15.5% uninsured, 750,000 people in the state of Maryland. That's a significant problem. They have access to emergency care, but they don't get the kind of ongoing care, particularly for chronic conditions, that are needed to prevent hospitalizations and to avoid costs to all the rest of us who end up paying for uncompensated care. So access is a huge problem. That's no surprise to any of the listeners. I mean, it's front page kinds of issues. The cost issue, I think, is the most challenging of all of them, because costs have proven to be hard to control in any way other than what managed care did, which was ratchet down payments to providers. And the biggest challenge that we have to work out exactly how we can help facilitate, and that big companies are currently involved in, is trying to figure out how do you encourage purchasing high value. That's the challenge, not just low cost, but high value, things that make a difference and that are worth the money that we're putting into it. I mean, we put 1/6 of our entire economy into healthcare. That's far more than any other industrialized nation. And the question is, do we get better results? And the answer is probably not. So there's some issue that we have to grapple with as a society about insisting that what we're paying for is the highest value that really pays attention to cost.
So it's really the three are in counterbalance in a lot of ways, right?
They are. You can't separate them out in one from the other. Some managed care companies, like in New York, there was the recent lawsuit that said, no, you can't pay providers just on the basis of whether they avoid costs for you. You have to include quality in that. And that's the value equation. You've got to measure quality and sort of adjust payments accordingly, ideally.
Rex, you've had an interesting career path as a physician, an NIH researcher, the head of the National Institute of Mental Health, a patient advocate, a White House economic advisor. So first, could you tell us a little bit about that varied career path and some of those shifts? And then second, why are you now at the state of Maryland?
Some would say I haven't yet figured out what I want to do when I grow up. but I think actually, if you look at each one of them, they made a certain amount of sense. When I was in training, I was puzzled by people who had problems with impulse control. And decided, well, not enough is known. It's sort of written down to psychodynamic issues. That doesn't make any sense from what I saw in the people. I'll go to NIH and do research and try to answer some questions about what's behind that. While I was there, I got into research administration. And I was heading up the NIMH. I got into the question of, well, policy, parity for mental illnesses, for the treatment of mental illnesses. How do we incentivize good quality mental health care? And then that sort of expanded beyond that. How did I end up in Maryland? Well, you know, I spent 3 years with the federal government, like in the National Economic Council, saying the states are the laboratories of the republic. This is where healthcare innovations start, plus in large corporations, actually, in their health plans as well. So states are the proving grounds. So finally, I think I had had that question called and decided, well, maybe it's time to move to a state and see if that's really the case.
That's great. So as you sort of reflect on these various experiences and the various roles that you've had, how do you think that they have prepared you for your current leadership role on the commission and perhaps influenced your leadership or your management style?
I think being a researcher trains you to be analytic and to ask sort of tough questions and to sort out different components of things. Hanging around with a group of health economists teaches you about the importance of incentives to shape behavior. That's vitally important. But in some ways, the most important experience was with NAMI, the National, at that point it was called the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, an advocacy group not of professionals, but of families and patients primarily, that advocate for better treatment for people with mental illness. And that, I think, indelibly stamped me with the notion that first and foremost, you've got to view the system from the perspective of the people who are receiving care in it. That has to trump all else. It's a lot like the point that Don Berwick makes in his work, that the true north of judging our healthcare system has to be the patient's experience in that system, and we have a ways to go.
What is the state of Maryland doing to expand health insurance coverage for the working families and small business? We will ask Dr. Rex Cowdery, Executive Director of the Maryland Healthcare Commission, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.